Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you with another edition of Truth Finders. Listen, I need you to call a friend and text a neighbor and let them know that Truth Finders is on the air. Hallelujah. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, this is where we dig into the Word of God to find our truth in Christ Jesus. So listen, always here on Truth Finders, we want to hear your comments and your questions. You can always leave your comments and questions here on Blog Talk Radio in our comment area, and you can always email me personally. Amen. At AngeliqueLawrence@yahoo.com. And you could also, amen, go back and listen to past episodes, amen. That's the wonder of Blog Talk, amen. You can go back to the very first one up until now, amen. So I need you to go grab your pen, your paper, and your Bible right now. And while you're doing that, look, we talked about last season, we were talking about the season of giving. And this year, we're talking about the season of harvest. And we're continuing to lift up small businesses, amen. And I know we've lift this one up before, amen, but their services are so important, I wanted to do it again, amen. So on today, we want to highlight Payton Processing Group Incorporated. They offer services in quick deeds, power of attorney, expungements, which is very important, especially for the black males who did things when they were younger, amen. They can help you get those things off your record, and they also now are offering credit repair. So reach out to them on Facebook, find their Facebook page, Payton Processing Group Incorporated. You can inbox them, amen, ask them for comments and questions, and set up an appointment to get what you need, amen. So now you have your pen and your paper. Now let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We glorify, magnify, and worship you in the beauty of holiness on today. We know this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and praise your name. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to break the bread of life on today, Lord God. We thank you for opportunity, Lord God, hallelujah, let you, the Holy Spirit, teach us on today, Lord God. We know it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So, Holy Spirit, you come in by your Spirit and move like never before. Do what you want to do and move the way you want to move in this season, Lord God. So we thank and praise you. We thank and honor you. We thank and adore you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all, Father, Truth Finders. I'm so glad you're joining us here on today, amen. And as you know, we always start off with a quick review of what we talked about last time. So last time we were together, we talked about who I am. We talked about let God be God in your life. Amen. He said, I'm the great I am. I'm Alpha and Omega, but I'm also the lover of your soul. I'm also the friend to the friendless, the homeless to the homeless, the father to the fatherless. And so he said, let me be that in your life. Whatever void you have, anything that you think you're missing in the natural, and in any relationship you think you need, hey, man, God can be that. And so he said, let me be God in your life. And so he wants to be your best friend. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to counsel you. He wants to do all these things in your life. So just let him do those things in your life. Surrender and let God take over, amen. And if you want to hear that episode in its entirety, you can always go back to our Blog Talk Radio to True Finders and see all those episodes, and it's the latest episode, amen. But on today, Truth Finders, we're going to talk about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. I prayed this for years. Lord, let me have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. I prayed that for years. And, you know, I was sitting in my prayer closet the other day, and I said, what is the mind of Christ? What is the mind of Christ? So you know, Truth Finders, whenever I have a question, I'm going to seek it out, and I'm going to give you what I found, because this is just good for me as it is for you, amen. So we're going to go to Philippians. We're going to start with Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and it says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And what makes this so powerful, when Apostle Paul was writing this, he said, I got to have the mind of Christ. When we look at what Christ came to do, we all, over the years, we've always found out that Christ came to show us how to live holy and blameless before our Maker God, the Father, that we may be able to see him at the end, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, at the end of this journey. And so for us to be able to get through that journey, we have to have the mind of Christ. Now, here's the deal. Let's look at Matthew 22 and 37. This is going to bless you. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Just get over there, fellow truth finders. Matthew 22 and 37 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Here's the thing. When you are saved, our salvation starts in our mind. Once we have a, hallelujah, once we have to first make up our mind that we're going to serve God, nothing can happen in our lives. You can't even begin the sinner, what they call the sinner's prayer, amen, in Romans 10 and 9, that I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus Christ died and on the third day and he did it for me. You can't even get to that point until you make up your mind that's what you want to do. Because you can't say it in your mouth, hallelujah, before you make up in your mind that's what you're going to do. And so Romans 7 and 25 say, "With my mind I serve the law of God." The only way you're going to be able to be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, he has to be in your mind. You have to serve God in your mind first. And as we call this even in a theologian circles, our heart's mind. Your heart and your mind is one. What you think in your mind, that's what happens in your heart. What happens in your heart, what happens in your mind. It's reciprocal. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God is saying to us, if you can get your mind together, you won't have a problem serving me. Amen. This is why the Bible tells us to deal with your mind first. You have to deal with your mind. When you get saved, when you get in Christ Jesus, you got to deal with your mind. Think about it. You're thinking on your mindset is the mindset of the world. You're coming out of some place that you've been your whole life. And you could come in and say you believe Christ, but if your mind never changes, you will never change. And that's just in the natural. So in the spiritual thing, just imagine if my mindset never changes, hallelujah, if I never get to the place that God came to give me through Christ Jesus, through his word, my life will never change. And I'll be existing and not living. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and 23. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says this, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." That's the one of the things that Paul had to tell the Ephesian church. You have to be renewed in your mind. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, this one might be familiar to you because I've heard a lot of people repeat this one. Amen. Romans, hallelujah, chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So now we see we will never be able to follow God, hallelujah, until our mindsets change. Why is that so important? The adversary is coming after your mind because that is the only legal access God has given him. Let's look at Genesis. You want me to prove it to you, fellow truth finders? Genesis, hallelujah, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's get over there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And we know, hallelujah, the story about Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve ate the fruit and had Adam eat the fruit. And so now we're in that sinful place. We lost all dominion and power. But listen to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is the creature's God talking. And he said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So he's talking, hallelujah, he's talking to men that, listen, he will bruise your head. When he sees this, he's saying to the serpent, I will allow you to shoot those fiery darts at them. But they will have, I will give them the power to defeat you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so here, let's look at Romans 7 and 23. Let's get over there. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. And what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 7 and 23 says this. It says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so when we hear people say the fiery dart, when Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 about putting on the helmet of salvation, it's that it may cover your mind. God allows the adversary, the only access he has to you that God has allowed is for him to shoot the fiery darts at you. He has those suggestions to you. He shoots those negative thoughts in you. But God has given you the ability to cast down imaginations and hide things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. A lot of times we take on those things and we get condemned because we're having those thoughts. But you need to know, hallelujah, you have the power to bind those thoughts, amen? And if you meditate on anything that the adversary gives you, that thing will seep into your heart and it will allow you to start to do the things that you're thinking. And so God is saying to us, if you get to a place that you can renew your mind, if you get the mind like Christ had, then you won't do the things that your flesh deals anymore. You won't do those sinful things anymore. But everything you do, hallelujah, you may slip, you may fall, you may slip, you may stumble, but you'll never fall because the mind of Christ is in you, and you will have the ability, hallelujah, to get back in line with God. And so you have to deal with your mind first. You have to deal with your thinking. Even in the natural, when we look at people in poverty, amen, poverty has a way of thinking, amen. Poverty has a way to rob Peter to pay Paul, as we always say. Poverty has a way of thinking that when we get paid, we're going to spend all our money the first day, and then we don't have any money for the next 29 days of the month, amen. That's poverty thinking. So think about sinful thinking, the way you thought in the world. You can't bring that over with you into the body of Christ. You can't, because he said that I'm a new creature. You're a new creature. He's making you over. So you can't hold on to the mindset you had before you were saved. Amen. It's your responsibility for girding up your mind. I'm going to say it again. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to feed your mind. So the question becomes, how do I prepare my mind to be like Christ? How do I do that? How do I get to that place? How do I get to the place that I'm not thinking those thinking and negative thoughts anymore? First, let's look at Joshua chapter 1 and 8. The book of Joshua, Old Testament for my new saints here. It's right after the first five books. It's like the sixth book of the Bible, amen. Amen, Joshua, the man of God that followed Moses. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 8. And a lot of you all have read this, and you have repeated this, but this is how you get the mind of Christ. Joshua 1 and 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have that make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. And so, first, meditation. Meditation, thinking on those things. And so, he told us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, meditate on God's law. What is God's law to us? His word. The word of God, which is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, to the penetrating, even dividing the soul and spirit, joint and marrow, judging the attitudes and the intents of the heart. It's the word of God is so powerful because we already learned in John chapter 1 that the word in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And so if I meditate on the word, which is God, I will have good success. I will be able to go forth. I'll be in a place of prosperity, and not natural, but spiritually. I won't have as many attacks by the adversary because my mind is set on things above. So the first way to get the mind, hallelujah, Thank you, Jesus. The mind of Christ is the first. Meditate on it. Meditate on God's word. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 17. Let's go back over to the New Testament. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus, the fellow truth finders, I hope that this is blessing you because it blessed me because I need to know how to defeat the adversary that keeps attacking my mind. Because as I'm growing in the things of God, as I'm learning of him, as I'm getting into that place where I'm walking with him more and I'm talking with him more, I don't want any open doors for the adversary to come in and try to hinder the relationship that I have with God. So I have to be transforming and newing in my mind. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." And so when we look at chapter X, how Apostle Paul is praising the Berean church because they had readiness of mind. Number two, you have to have a readiness of mind. You have to have a mindset that hunger and thirst after the word of God. It has to be the readiness of mind that you're able to go to the word of God. You can go in there and you're ready to just eat. That's why he said, "Give me this, my daily bread." Amen. Give me my daily bread so I can go in readiness of mind. When I wake up in the morning, that I can open my Bible and get a word straight from God, because God told me, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So I have to have a ready mind. My mind has to be ready to go in and say, hey, I need this thing. I need to be have a readiness so I can search the scriptures and not just find out what they say to me be true, but I can find my victory in Christ Jesus through his word. So I have to have a readiness of mind. Amen. Let's flip over to Acts chapter 20. Just flip over a couple of pages, saints. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Acts chapter 20, verse 19. And it says this, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with the many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." The third thing you have to have to prepare your mind to be like Christ, you have to have a humbled mind. Let's also look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's get over there. As usual, I know it's a lot of scriptures. You can always go back and listen to this. And the cool thing about Blog Talk, you can slow it down and repeat it and write your scriptures down and go back and read the word of God for yourself, seeing that what I say be of God, amen, be of the Holy Spirit, amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long suffering." And so when we see here, the third thing that when we prepare our mind to be like Christ, we have to have a humble mind. What does that mean? That means we don't have a haughty mind. When we look at people who have a much knowledge, we found out there's a mental arrogancy that comes. Like you can't tell, they're unteachable. They're unteachable when people know too much. Even here, when it comes to the word of God, sometimes we get to a point and involved in it, and I've been there, where you just know so much word. When somebody goes to expound on the word, you'd be like, oh, I know that. But you can't be like that, because what I found over the years, I could read the same scripture every day and get a new revelation from the Holy Spirit every day. I could read the same verse 20 times and get 20 interpretations from the Holy Spirit. And so for you to have the mind of Christ, you have to humble your mind. You have to say, Lord, my mind is humble. I'm just waiting on you. I want you to get me to that place. Tell me what I need to do through your word. Amen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. And let me get over there. Thank you all for being with us, amen, as we try to find 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. And I have these marked off on today, but not finding it as fast. Amen. That's a good thing about a good book. You got to be able to flip through it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8 and 12 says, "For if there be a first, a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not." A willing mind. You have to be willing to have a changed mind. You know, the Bible talks about stubbornness as witchcraft. And sometimes we try to say stubbornness is a virtue, but it's not. And God is saying you have to be a willing mind. You have to have a mind willing to learn. You have to have, again, a teachable spirit, a mind that says, you know, I'm willing, Lord. I might not understand. He said, lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge me, and I shall direct your path. And he said, you have to be willing to hear from God for your mind to be changed, for your mind to be renewed, to be like Christ. And so a willing mind. Amen. So number one, we talked about how do we get a mind of Christ. First, we have to meditate on the word of God, meditate on the law. Number two, we have to have readiness of mind, ready to learn, a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Number three, we said we had to have a humbled mind. Our mind has to be teachable. Number four, we said you have to have a willing mind. You have to be willing to be taught. You have to be willing to learn the word of God. You have to be willing to be able to go in and get what you need. Amen. And let's flip over now to Philippians. Philippians 4 and 8. Philippians chapter 4 and 8. And a lot of you, this might be a very familiar scripture to you, but this is how we get the mind of Christ. He said, Apostle Paul says here, "Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And so God said you have to change. We talked about meditating on the word of God. Now you have to learn to think on those things as positive, pure, noble. When you know it's a negative thought, it be not from God. And that's why he told us, cast down imaginations and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. He's telling you what to think on. Think on the goodness of God. Think on just and purity and love, anything that brings praise to God. That's your thought pattern. When you're not thinking hallelujah on the things of God, when you're thinking on negative, your mind feeds off that, and you open up to the adversary. So now you have all these spirits coming in, hallelujah. You have all these frustrations and irritations. And God said, don't worry in your mind. Don't think about the negative things. Don't even think about what they did. Earlier in Philippians, Apostle Paul said, I have to learn to forget those things which are behind. I can't meditate or think about those things that happened to me, the negative things that somebody said to me, the negative things somebody did to me yesterday. I can't think on any of those things. I have to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. And when I keep my mind stayed on Jesus, I mean, I have to think on the things that are good, because he's good, he's awesome, he's wonderful. He's the great I am. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and the author, the finish of your faith. He's the one that sits high and looks low and in touch and feelings and firmness of your emotions. And so he's your friend, your comforter, your guide, your healer, your counselor, your protector, your husband, all these things that we talked about last time we were together. And so that's what you need to think, Colin. He said, you know, one of the songs said, every time I think of the goodness and all that you've done, my soul cries out, hallelujah. And so Apostle Paul said, wait, when them negative thoughts when the adversaries start to shoot those negative thoughts at you, you have to say, wait a minute, that's not true. The devil is a liar. That's not, hallelujah, Satan, get thee behind me. You have to rebuke that off your mind, because you know God say, hallelujah, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. He said, I gave you power, love, and a sound mind. God needs soundness of mind. He wants you to have a soundness of mind. And so, hallelujah, when we look at the mind of Christ, it's a sound mind. It's a mind of peace, a mind of joy, a mind that knows that he knows that he knows who his God is. Amen. What God is to him, that trusts him wholeheartedly. God's plans for you is to put his law in your mind so you can combat the adversary. When we looked at the things, and we talked about this a while back, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to give you a weapon of sword to combat the adversary. That's what the word of God does. Jesus came to give you a sword according to Matthew, and the word of God is to fight the adversary. And so God's plans towards you to get you to a place, hallelujah, that you don't have to worry about the adversary. See, here's the thing. Before Christ came, we had no weapons. We couldn't fight back against the adversary. If we were sick, we didn't know how to get healed. If we had negative thoughts, we had no way of getting past it. But now in the New Testament, after Christ came and shed his blood for us, his plan was to send Jesus Christ, his son, to give us all the tools we need to be successful on this earth, on this evil earth that's not our home. We're in this world, and we're not of this world. So the plan of God, let's look at Hebrews 8 and 10. Hebrews 8 and 10 says this, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And so God wants you to meditate on this word. Hallelujah. He wants you, hallelujah, to get those things down in your heart. Hallelujah. And he wants to be able not just to transform you from the inside out, but even in that situation now, you're able to go out into the highways and the hedges and compels God's people to come. Your renewed mind can change not just your life, but it could change every single life that you touch. And that's why it's so important to have a mindset. I personally don't know, when I first got saved, I complained a lot. I murmured a lot. I had to change my mindset. My mind, I had to get God's word in my mind and my heart. I had to start speaking life and not death, blessings and not curses according to the word of God. I had to learn how to bind up the adversary and loose the joy of God. I had to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. All of this couldn't happen until my mind was renewed. Until I got to a place where I didn't depend on man anymore, but I depended on the word of God to lead me and be my comforter, my guide, and my shield in this area. Amen. Let's look at our final scripture for today. Amen. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's get over there right quick. Our final scriptures. I hope this bless you all, saints. As always, the word of God has blessed me and got me to a point where I'm learning to be victorious in Christ Jesus through the word of God. This is why the adversary fights you learning or reading the word of God, because he knows once you know the word of God and your mind has been renewed, you're powerful. You'll be able to take advantage of everything God has for you. You'll be able to live that abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Amen. So let's get over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And so Apostle Paul and faith told them in Corinthians, we got the mind of Christ now. All the word, all the things God has seen, everything Jesus said, now I can walk around in victory, not looking at those things which are behind me, not meditating on old things, not meditating on those negative things. But now that I have the mind of Christ, I can walk in peace knowing I'm not going to be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, making all requests known to him, that the peace of God has surpassed all understanding should guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I thank you all. We're at the end of our story. I know it was good, amen, of our time together. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, amen, you can always go on and send us an email, amen. God bless you all, and I want you to remember this. It's the truth that makes you free. God bless you on today, and you have an awesome day.